All right, so getting into this here, let me read Matthew 13. This is verse 52. Therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. New treasures. I'm hoping this is my privilege today to bring out some new treasures. The Bible is full of treasures. In Psalm 19, verse 9, the fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold. And I hope that's our attitude as we come, as we approach the Word of God. This is gold. This is of great value. This is where the treasure is here. Psalm 119, verse 72 says, the law from your mouth is more precious to me than thousands of pieces of silver and gold. Psalm 119, 127 says, I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. The word of the Lord is gold. The commands of the Lord are gold. His ways are gold. And we live in a world where everything's not gold. Not every piece of advice is worthy of listening to. It's not gold. Not every rule out there is gold. And to give you some examples, this is some common sense rules. Jewish Rabbi Hillel in 20 BC, that's 20 years before this would be 50 years before Jesus taught on this earth. This is what he says. He said, what is hateful to yourself, do not to someone else. What is hateful to yourself, do not to someone else. First of all, that's just bad English. But secondly, this is common sense. If you don't like it, don't do it. If you don't want to be smacked around, don't smack other people around. Now, the book of Tibet, in the Apocrypha, it says basically the same thing. What thou thyself hatest, to no man do. If you don't like it, don't do it. Don't do it to another person. Confucius, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. That's Confucius who said that. Nicholas, ancient Greek king, he says, do not do to others the things which make you angry when you experience them at the hands of other people. A Greek philosopher whose name, Epictetus, didn't even get close that time. What you avoid suffering yourself, do not afflict on others. The Stoics were known for saying, what you do not want to be done to you, do not do to anyone else. It's basically the same thing. They're all saying the same thing. If you don't want somebody to do it to you, you don't do it to somebody else. And this is a basic principle. It's been around forever. It sounds very common, doesn't it? It's something like, I've heard this before someplace. Well, the truth is, it's found in Hinduism. It's found in Buddhism. It's found in Judaism. It's found in, Confucius said it. The Greeks, the philosophers have said it. The Roman ethical teachings are known for it. It was well known. It was very familiar, very common, which makes you think, because I'm thinking Jesus said something like this. He's known for being a great teacher. And the skeptics would argue Jesus didn't teach anything new. This has been around for years. And just the question, I'm thinking, did Jesus plagiarize Confucius? That's a scary thought. Is Jesus just one of many philosophers? So put all that out there. And like, okay, we got this question here. And what I want you to see, what all these different people said, this wise counsel of the day, these common sense rules, the results are it actually, this falls short. It misses the mark. It doesn't go far enough. I mean, it all sounds good, but it doesn't reflect the heart of God. The common sense rule of the day, it falls short. These philosophers, they're mere men, and their rules fall short. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. These men, they said wise things, but it wasn't wise enough. Hebrews 4, verse 1, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be very careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. And this does. This falls short. This is fool's gold. This is the wisdom of the world. And what you see there, and what Jesus said is actually very different. What Jesus says, this is Matthew 7, verse 12, this is known as the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Known as the golden rule. Known as the golden rule because this is what I heard, what I read this week. The Roman Emperor Alexander Severus, he had the saying of Jesus. He had it engraved in gold. And he was known he loved this saying. He declared it to be a good rule for all men to follow. So for that reason, I mean, for Christians, we know it because we read the Bible. The Roman Empire knew it because this emperor promoted it. Had it engraved in gold, and therefore it's known as the golden rule. That's what I read. It's my hope today to show you that what Jesus taught is completely different from what everybody else was saying. Jesus took what everybody else was saying, and he turned it upside down. I want you to notice what the philosophers of the day were saying. They were basically saying, don't. What you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. What they were saying, it was very passive. And I would tell you, anybody can do what they were saying. Just don't hurt other people. You can do that if you're in a coma, all right? I mean, it's not hard to do. My refrigerator can do this, okay? This is not hard to not hurt other people. Just don't. That's what they were saying. It was very passive. And what Jesus taught is for us to do, to be not passive, but to be active. Do to others as you would have them do to you. So notice, first of all, it's active. It's intentional. To do actually requires you to do something. You have to do something. You have to be intentional, and you have to take the initiative. Jesus wants you, his followers, to take the initiative to do to others what you want them to do to you. If you've seen the movie, you heard about the movie Pay It Forward. I don't know when that came out. It came out 10 years ago, 15 years ago, something like that. But the premise of the movie was a boy was assigned something in his social studies class. He had to come up with something to change the world. That was the assignment. So his idea was to do something good for somebody, something they couldn't do for themselves, and then to challenge them to pay it forward. The saying here, he said, don't pay me back, pay it forward. Find three other people and do something for them. That's the premise of the movie. It's a pretty good movie. No action, no car scenes or anything like that, but it was all good principle. And the point behind the movie of Pay It Forward is basically the golden rule. The movie was built on this principle, the golden rule. And something I read this week, JCPenney's, before JCPenney's was JCPenney's, I didn't know this. Their first few stores were known as the Golden Rule stores. The Golden Rule stores. Mr. Penney did not like to use the word employee. He called his workers associates. You thought that started with Walmart? No, it started with JCPenney's. He treated them just as well as he would like to be treated. He was able to take a general store in 1902, and built it into a multi-billion-dollar business because he actually lived out the Golden Rule. This is a great business principle. This is how JCPenney's became what it was, because he treated his employees well. He treated everybody well. Mr. Penney tried his best to always treat people like he wanted to be treated. He treated them with love. He treated them with respect, with kindness, with understanding, with encouragement. And my question is, how about you? How are you doing with this? Are you actively, intentionally taking the initiative to do to others what you want them to do to you? So it's active, it's intentional, it takes the initiative. And something that I want us to see today, and I don't know that I can really develop this really well, but this is very important. You need to understand, this is the standard for Christian living. This is what Christians do. This is how we do it. This is the expectation. This is how God's kingdom comes to this earth. We pray, thy kingdom come. Well, this is how it comes. When God's people start treating all people with love, when God's people start doing for others what they would like done for themselves, when God's people start treating people the way they would like to be treated, by this all men will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. If we love one another, Jesus says, this is what love is. This is the way the disciples were to live. This is the way you and I are to live. And I would tell you, I didn't take time to develop this, but if we go back, this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. We've been on the Sermon on the Mount for months. This is really getting near the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And I would tell you, this summarizes what the whole Sermon on the Mount's about. We get to this point. This is the highlight of the message right here, where earlier he says, do not murder. You've heard it said, do not murder. I tell you, don't even hate. You've heard, do not commit adultery. I tell you, don't even lust. All these things, the world tells you, do not do this, do not do this. I tell you, you need to be loving one another. You need to be active. You need to be intentional. You need to take the initiative. This is how his kingdom comes. This is the standard. If we call ourselves Christians, this is what we should be aiming for right here. Another thing I want to point out, it's comprehensive. So in everything, it begins like this, so in everything, which means you don't need 600 pages of rules and regulations on how to do this. No, everything. And everything means everything. So somebody said, well, what if they're mean to me? No, in everything. What if I don't know them? In everything. Well, what if they're from Canada? No, in everything, you know? Everything means everything. Doesn't matter if you got a headache. It doesn't matter if you don't feel like it. In everything, this is how you are to treat people. And it ends with, this sums up the law and the prophets. It's comprehensive. The golden rule is the way to fulfill the greatest commandment. The greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is how you do it. This is how you love God. This is how you love others. This does not fall short. We live in a world that universally, they accept the golden rule as the proper way to behave. However, we all know that's not the typical way people behave. We actually live in a culture that says, do unto others as they do unto you. Or better yet, do unto others before they do to you. That's what our culture teaches. That's what our culture says. So the golden rule is really, to me, it's a great opportunity. You take the golden rule, it's an opportunity to refocus. Everything I do, is it being done from love? We don't treat people the way they treat us. We don't treat people the way we've experienced from others. You know, you grow up in a world and people are rude, so you're rude. They're impatient, so you become impatient. We live in a world that takes people for granted. We live in a world that just ignores people. Much of what we do is learned. Or it's just human nature. It's just, you know, this is my flesh. In the Bible, it tells us in 1 Peter 3, verse 9, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. That's what the world does. We're Christians. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're not supposed to act like the world. We're supposed to be different than the world. So we don't repay evil for evil. We don't repay insult for insult. The verse goes on, but we do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called. We are called to be a blessing, that you may inherit a blessing. And I want to inherit a blessing. Don't you want to inherit a blessing? And how do you inherit a blessing? By blessing other people, by not treating people the way they treat you. So it's not how you've experienced it from other people. You don't treat the world the way the world has treated you. That's a big part of this right here. We're to do better than that. We're called to do better than that. We've got to raise the standard. That's what the golden rule is all about. We need to raise the standard so we don't treat people the way we've been treated. I will tell you another thing. Don't treat the world the way you expect them to treat you either. Now, what do you expect from the world? You know, I'm thinking, I thought about that. I expect a certain amount of respect because I'm just a human being. I expect people to be polite. And I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old and cynical, but I've gotten to the point now where, I just don't expect much from this world. I don't expect much at all. And let me take you to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 tells a story about Paul and Barnabas. They went to Lystra, and there they saw a crippled man. They healed the man. And the people were just so amazed and so overwhelmed, they thought Paul and Barnabas must be gods. They even called them Zeus and Hermes. And they tried to sacrifice to them. And Paul and Barnabas, they were horrified. No, you can't. Don't sacrifice. We're just mere men. We're just like you. We're mere men. And it says in verse 18, this is Acts chapter 14, verse 18, even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. That's verse 18. They couldn't keep the crowd from sacrificing to them. In verse 19, the very next verse, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and they won the crowd over, and they stoned Paul, and they dragged him outside the city, thinking he was dead. Yeah, that's what I expect from the world, right there. They will praise you on one day, and they will try to crucify you the next day. That's the world that we live in. We're not supposed to treat people the way the world has treated us. Not the way that we've been treated, not the way we expect them to treat us. No, what the Bible says, the golden rule says, treat them the way you want them to treat you. And then I got to think about that. Well, how do I want to be treated? And you know what I want? I don't know about you, but I want to be spoiled. I want to be pampered. I want to be appreciated and valued. That's what I want. I mean, I don't know if I'm asking too much, but that's just what I want, okay? So that's my personal standard. And then I got thinking about that in life. There was one guy who comes to my mind. His name's Bob, and Bob was an elderly, godly man. And I was having dinner with Bob one time, and I was trying to ask him questions about himself, you know, get to know Bob. And every question, Bob turned it on me. Well, what about you, Pete? You know, how's your wife? How's your life? How's your family? Everything was all about me. And I saw what he was doing, and I was getting frustrated. And I was trying to turn it back around on him. Everything, he turned it back around on me. And he doted over me. He made me feel important. I love that man. He's a great man. And I remember I got a letter one time, a letter from somebody. He was coming to church, and this letter, just all this, it's one of the greatest letters I've ever gotten in my life. And he just praising us and how the church has made such a difference in his life. He says, I despise the thought of missing a Sunday sermon now. I think it is really neat that my son, his favorite songs are the songs we sing at church. He said, when I was growing up, my favorite songs were like from Black Sabbath and stuff like that. And the song just praises us and talks about how great we are. And it's one of the best letters I've ever gotten. I don't think you could write a letter like this. I dare you to try. Just sign it, you know, Pete Baumgirl. Hey, Pete. And go and see what you can do here. The Bible says, from everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And the truth is, I think I've been given much. I have been blessed much. Not by this world, but by God. God has blessed me in so many ways. We who call ourselves Christians, we've experienced God's love. We've experienced God's forgiveness. We've experienced his word, his grace. Blessing after blessing after blessing. We have this Thanksgiving coming up to express our gratitude for all the blessings that we have. The question is, what are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with all these blessings God has poured upon us? The answer is we pay it forward. We pay it forward. Not because of the movie, but because the movie is based on the word of God. Do unto others what you'd want them to do to you. I want to be blessed. And although I live in a world that's not going to bless me, I have a Savior who has blessed me in so many ways. So I'm going to take those blessings and I'm going to show the world the love of God. I'm going to pay it forward. Now, to do this, first of all, it requires action. James 2:16 says, if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? Is that really the way we're going to do unto others, the way we want done to us? By saying good luck and doing nothing to help? That's not the way to do this. I think a better example is in Matthew 25, when Jesus, he divides the sheep from the goats. And he says, the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. That's the way you do it. Do unto others as you want them to do unto you. If you were hungry, wouldn't you want somebody to feed you? If you were thirsty, wouldn't you want somebody to give you a drink? If you were in prison, wouldn't you want somebody to come visit you? This is the way you do it. You do unto others the way you want done to you. It takes action, and I think it takes effort, which might be the same thing. I don't know, but I was mindful of the biblical principle. It's throughout the Bible. You sow, you reap what you sow. And the question is, what are we sowing? What are we sowing? A farmer must sow his seed before he's able to reap a crop. And we need to sow our seeds before we can reap a crop. And then, you know, as Christians, there's a harvest out there, and we need to sow these seeds. The farmer, he sows the seeds of wheat or corn. We sow seeds of love. And there's a harvest in the end, a harvest of God's rewards, a harvest of souls, of people who know Jesus Christ. Are you sowing seeds of love? Are you sowing seeds of love? It says in Luke chapter 6, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to get repaid in full. No, but you are to love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything in return. Then your reward will be great. This is how you sow seeds of love right there. In a world that needs love, a world that needs to know God, and you and I as his people, we're the ones who are to sow these seeds. Mark 12 says, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than this. John 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. As I have loved you, you are to love one another. Have you been loved by God? Yes, you have. All right, that's easy. This is a command, love each other. 1 John 3, verse 23, this is his command, to believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. We must be intentional. We must take initiative. We must sow seeds of love. It requires action, effort, and it requires a bit of vulnerability. Okay, the medicine's kicking in now, or something. I don't know. You know what I'm trying to say? Vulnerability. Yes, there you go. Luke 6, I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. And somebody's going to object here and say, no, if I turn the other cheek, they're just going to strike that one too. Yeah, they might. Do unto others what you would have them do to you. C.S. Lewis, and I've used this several times, you know this here. C.S. Lewis says, to love at all is to be vulnerable. I didn't have a problem with that word in the first service. Love anything and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give it to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it up carefully around hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or coffin of your selfishness. But in that casket, safe and dark and motionless and airless, it will change. It will not be broken. No, it'll become unbreakable. Impenetrable. Irredeemable. The only place outside heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all dangers of love is hell. Is that what you want? No. To love is to be vulnerable. Vulnerable. Do unto others. Not what they've done to us. Not what we expect them to do to us, but as you would want them to do to us, which means we are to love them. We are to help them. We are to be generous to them. It means we need to be selfless. And it means we need to sacrifice, just as our Lord has sacrificed for us. Jesus says in Matthew 10, anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Jesus showed us how to do this. He took action. He took effort. Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. He was selfless. He sacrificed. He did for us what he wants us to do for others. And he tells us if we do this, we will be fulfilling the law and the prophets. We will be fulfilling the law and the prophets if we love this way. This is how his kingdom comes. I found a great story, which I thought it was really helpful here. How does it say this? A man, he was sitting by a tree near a creek, and he was reading his Bible, and something caught his eye. He looked to see a scorpion caught between two roots of the tree. He's sitting there, he sees a scorpion. What would you do? I would quickly move. That's what I would do. He reached over to help the scorpion loose. He tried to help the scorpion get loose. I'm not sure I would do that, but that's what this guy did. He tried a few times to try to grab it, and the scorpion kept trying to sting him. And the man who was watching all this, he says, "Don't you know it's a scorpion's nature to sting? Why don't you just forget it and let it die?" Which is probably what I would have done. I got to say, that's what I would have done. It's the scorpion's nature. He's going to keep trying to sting you. And the guy, he smiled, and he looked up, and he says, "It might be the scorpion's nature to sting. It's my nature to help. Should it be necessary that I change my nature to accommodate someone else's nature?" That was a powerful story. We live in a world that's going to try to sting you. We live in a world that's going to try to hurt you. It's its nature. But you and I, we've been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside of us, to reside in us, to transform us, to change us into the nature of God. We help. That's our nature. If we're living by the Spirit, we love because that's our nature now. If the Spirit resides in us, if we know anything about the love of God, we forgive because that's our new nature. If we don't, then it means we're still living by our old nature. We're still living by the flesh, and we're falling short. We're falling short. I told you that this verse, it's called the Golden Rule because Emperor Alexander Severus had it written on his wall in gold. It was engraved in gold. What I didn't tell you was Emperor Severus never became a Christian. He thought that the teachings of Jesus were good teachings, but he himself never gave his life to Jesus Christ. Saw Jesus Christ as a good teacher, but he never saw him as Lord. And I'll tell you, I don't think you can do this if Jesus is not your Lord. I don't see how you can fulfill the golden rule if the Holy Spirit is not residing inside of you. If you've not surrendered to Jesus Christ and received the gift of the Holy Spirit, I don't know how you can do this. It's only by the power of God, only by the grace of God, that you can do unto others as you want them to do to you. It's so important that we get there. It's so important that we do this, but it's so important that we realize we need Jesus so that we can do this. And I know there's a lot of people in this room, we've been Christian a long time, but maybe the world has gotten to you and you've gotten away from living by the golden rule. I would ask you to take some time right now as we pray, as we worship. I would ask you to take some time and get refocused and realize we are called to live by a higher standard and how important it is that we live by this higher standard. Regardless of how the world treats us, regardless of what the world does, this is what we are to do. And for anyone in this room, you're not a Christian. You've never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior. You're just like the Emperor Severus. Oh, it's a nice teaching. It's good and all. I would ask you not to end like he did. To just think of it as a good teaching, but never understand that Jesus is Lord. I would ask you today, if that's where you're at, would you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Would you surrender your life to the King of Kings and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who will empower you and help you and help and lead you and guide you to fulfill this great commandment? We all need Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, I pray that you would receive Jesus right now.